Hello, and welcome back to another edition of the Three Good Things podcast, where, you guessed it, I talk about three good things. I'm Shardul, and today is August 9th, 2020, and let's just jump into it. Our first good thing of the day is new bidders have emerged for TikTok. So you've probably heard from either previous podcasts or the general news that TikTok is officially going to be banned in the U.S. in the next 44 days, according to the Trump administration. And Microsoft has come out as the front runner for acquiring the North American operations of the company. But now, the Wall Street Journal is reporting that Twitter, the bird company, have started having potential talks about a potential merger, even as the video sharing company defends itself against President Trump and this forced sale of the business or the potential ban. So, if you remember, Twitter before did buy Vine and then eventually shut it down entirely. And Vine was essentially what TikTok was before TikTok. So if this actually goes through, it's going to be very ironic for a company like Twitter to have bought TikTok, and maybe they do something with it, maybe they don't. But they've had preliminary discussions with ByteDance, which is the owner of TikTok. What's also interesting is Twitter's market cap is not as big as Microsoft, which we all know. The market cap for Twitter is about $30 billion, but the value for TikTok, this is a rough estimate, the value for TikTok, according to this article from TechCrunch, is between $15 billion and $50 billion, which is way too expensive for a company, just Twitter, to buy, which means they would have to have other investors come into the fold, and potentially maybe it's a joint buy by Twitter and Microsoft or Twitter and other investors. So only time will tell if that actually happens, but what's interesting right now is that there is another company in the fold about the mixes of a potential merger. So far, it's only Twitter and Microsoft. Microsoft is still the front runner when it comes to acquiring TikTok from ByteDance. But what is very interesting is how Trump has talked about this acquisition itself. On Air Force One on July 31st, Trump had told reporters that he plans to ban TikTok. Then the companies themselves that had talked about potential mergers were caught off guard, and they paused their discussions until they had more clarity about what exactly Trump meant. Now that they have some clarity about the ban actually going into effect on September 15th, now they're looking at mergers to just buy the U.S. operations of TikTok. If Twitter does buy them, then it'll add a huge additional pillar to the company's business and completely reshape the social media landscape across the board, because now you have Twitter and TikTok all being owned by the same company versus something like Facebook, which now owns Instagram, WhatsApp, etc. So you're getting these kind of consolidations of social media giants and them buying each other up versus other big companies like a Microsoft or a Google or an Apple or an Amazon owning a segment of that pie. So very good thing that there is some competition. Only time will tell how exactly this plays out, but it is interesting, and I think a good thing to have some competition when it comes to an acquisition, especially one that is supposed to be reported very, very huge, like TikTok. Our second good thing, and something I want to do more of on this podcast when I'm talking about three good things, maybe exclusively by myself or with guests, is highlighting Medium and Substack articles. I feel like the majority of the stuff so far has typically been TechCrunch or The Verge or stuff that is like very, very tech related. And I want to do more stuff that is more around mental models, links between like sports and business, and just general thought overall, not necessarily stuff that is good news in tech. So this is actually a Medium article written by Sarah Knuckle. I hope I pronounced that right. And she writes about the athlete CEO and the links between how founders can learn from athletes to build better teams, understand the importance of recovery, focus, and self-reflection, how the role of a coach helps develop the full range of abilities that success requires, and how changing momentum is not about changing potential, but changing the confidence in your ability to lead. So it's a very well-written Medium article, 7 to 8 minute read, about different examples where she not only talks about track and field and her own experience as a 800 meter runner and going to different competitions and learning how to become a better runner mentally and physically, but she also talks about it in the lens of business, about how founders can draw from the same type of preparation that is required for an athlete, and how visualizing your success is paramount to actually succeeding. The second piece she talks about is the role of a coach. So if you've seen The Last Dance or you know anything about basketball, you know that Phil Jackson is widely regarded as one of the most successful coaches in the history of the NBA. He won 6 NBA championships with Michael Jordan in the Bulls, and 5 NBA championships with Los Angeles Lakers and Kobe Bryant. He's well regarded as one of the most highly influential coaches to figure out how to get his teams to be the most successful, winning the NBA championship. And coaches themselves play an incremental role in people's success. The quote here is, instead, you should aim to be the athlete CEO, a CEO who is aware of his or her weaknesses and building a high-performing team that's designed to last. They also highlight mental health very briefly as well, because in the past few years, players from the NBA and across sports have been going public with their struggles with mental health and psychological struggles, because they have this immense amount of pressure on them and they don't have other people that can empathize or understand what they're going through. And I think putting those struggles out there makes them a little bit more vulnerable, for sure, but it also makes it so that other people can understand a little bit more about what they're going through from day to day, game to game, city to city. Now that everyone's in the NBA bubble in Orlando, it may be a little bit different, but having that conversation and putting yourself out there, players like Kevin Love and DeMar DeRozan, makes it better for other players that are going through similar things to look at, hey, I want to reach out to this person because maybe he knows what I'm going through. Maybe he understands a little bit more, or maybe she understands a little bit more about my experience. The latter part of the article talks about momentum and how athletes should visualize success, and you should too. And it talks about specifically how a study conducted by Dr. Biasotto of the University of Chicago split people into 3 groups, testing each one on how many free throws they could make. The first group practiced their free throws for 1 hour every day. The second group simply visualized themselves making free throws for 30 minutes per day. So half the amount of time, no basketball, no hoop, simply visualizing themselves seeing the ball go through the net. They literally went to the gym and spent half an hour with their eyes completely closed and no basketball in sight. The third group did nothing. So after the 30 days, after about a month, he tested 3 groups again. The first group improved by 24%. The second group improved by 23% without touching a basketball before. All they had done was visualize the ball going through the net. The third group did not improve, which is expected. So what's interesting and what's interesting from the study is that you can actually draw that success from simply visualizing your success rather than actually the muscle memory of shooting the free throw. So granted, that is a month time frame. It's not a full science, but the core fact or the core conclusion from that study remains. If you can visualize yourself succeeding, you're a lot more likely to succeed than if you cannot. So highly recommend you check it out. If you don't know Sarah Nokel, she's a great follow on Twitter as well, at Sarah Nokel. That's N-O-C-K-E-L. And if you want to go check her out, please do. She has many great articles, and she is actually the founder of Fem Street, which is a fantastic newsletter that I subscribe to. And it's a hand-curated weekly resource for must-read content by female startup operators and investors. There's tons of great people that have been featured in there, some of which I have met through Clubhouse or other things or through Twitter. And it's a great way to get more familiar with operators and investors, especially female ones, to get more knowledge share. Our third good thing actually comes from one of my favorite animators and YouTubers, who's also an Arizona native, and that is the channel, specifically James, from Odd Ones Out. If you don't know the YouTube channel, The Odd Ones Out, he has over 15 million subscribers. He's a fantastic animator and storyteller. He talks about growing up in Arizona. We actually grew up fairly near each other in terms of city, but I didn't know him. I still don't know him in person. But the video itself, he talks about his decaying mind in quarantine. And he talks about how he's adjusted in quarantine, how he's had different things to do in quarantine, how he misses different things, how he watches 90 Day Fiancé, etc. And the call to action, I think, is actually his game. And I'll just let him do the honors for you.
It's me, James. I just wanted to let you know that I'm launching this card game called Cafe Chaos on Kickstarter today. There'll be more info at the end of the video. This isn't some bit. I actually made a card game. I worked really hard on it. So please click the link in the description to get your...
So he made a card game called Cafe Chaos. You can find it on Kickstarter, Cafe Chaos on Kickstarter, and it's actually really interesting, especially as someone that loves card games and board games myself. I've placed my order. I'd recommend you do too. And if you want to support the channel as well as just James for his own creations, feel free to buy either a card game or just subscribe to the YouTube channel. The video is about 10 minutes long. It covers many different things about how he's adapting to quarantine and a few other things. That is it for today's edition of... Wow. Weird Sunday today. That's it for the Three Good Things podcast. Thank you so much for taking 10, 11, 12 minutes out of your day to listen to this podcast. The main reason I do this podcast is to get better at talking long form. As always, if you have any feedback, feel free to reach out to me on Twitter or on Instagram or on any social media platform. My handle is @shardulgo. That's SHARDULGO across all platforms. Again, thank you so much for tuning in to Three Good Things, and I'll see you tomorrow.